The Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring over 1,000 churches and religious ministries in Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee, and even insuring those who attend church, too. If you'd like a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can call 865-922-3111 or visit them online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics, as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Iran has a backup plan. The U.S. is planning on pressuring Israel. There's pressure to create a Palestinian state without Israel. Israel has a new enemy within, and we can't do without some end times weather as we get together and look at the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, May 23rd, 2025. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with your skeptical friend or relative. You can read the articles we talk about. We always encourage you to do that. Or you can ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question when you simply visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or grab our Way Media app right from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here to inform us that despite the high cost of living, it does remain popular, is Pastor Mark, who, because we come from dust, and to dust we shall return, we learn that he doesn't dust, because it could be someone he knows.
Yeah, I mean, you never know, right? You never know. Hey, is that Dusty?
I don't know.
It looks like Dusty.
Yeah.
I grew up with him.
I'm not sure that's the dust that they were talking about there in the Bible, but nevertheless.
Yeah, so you've come
to any excuse to get out of household chores. We will use God's word. Yes.
I'm going to refrain from further dad jokes.
That's right.
They're there, but I'm not going to do
they're
it.
There.
We need to move on.
Okay, we'll move on. As we visit the prophetic land of Ezekiel, we first come to the Jerusalem Post for an article dated May 19th. And this is kind of like Captain Obvious for prophecy, right? Iran and Russia deepen ties amid nuclear talks with the U.S. I mean,
it is. We see this. Yeah. Again,
we keep hearing this theme over and over.
And we do, Greg. And here's the thing, you know, we talk about, because we see it so much, we can't go to sleep. And our listeners and our watchers also don't go to sleep on this. They're being pushed closer and closer together. That's exactly what the Bible says will happen. And so, but we also need to just, it's good to watch this slow wheel turning and to keep our eye on it. You know, there's a difference in, I was reminded this past weekend at a pastor's conference, there's a difference in prophetic sensationalism and just balanced prophecy. And we try to do balanced prophecy here. We don't get sensational, you know, the Lord's coming back next Tuesday and we found the Antichrist and all that. No, it's balanced. Just watching what's happening in the world, keeping everybody updated and talking about it, watching it happen. This is another one of those subjects. Iran and Russia, look, you're always going to see them. They're being pushed closer and closer together. We don't know when they're going to make their move against Israel, but this is the kind of thing you need to be aware of. And you can see God aligning them, getting ready for that battle in articles like this.
Yeah.
So while Tehran is still cautiously optimistic, it wants to hedge that is cautiously optimistic about the deal they were going to try to make. They met again today. They've already made up their mind they're not going to do it, but I'll explain that in a moment. This is the deal that America and Iran are trying to work out. So Iran gets rid of all their centrifuge, all their ability to make any kind of nuclear weapon.
Yeah, and we've got an article on that too.
Yeah, and this is what this is about, though. That's why its goal is they know that's going to happen. They know that they're not going to do it, and they're afraid America's going to attack them. So what they're doing is they're getting China, Russia, and even some European countries to potentially help to hedge against any fallout should the U.S. talks collapse. They will collapse, and I think probably today they're done. But anyway, Russia is one of their key friends. So this is pushing them together. A quiet but deepening tie between Iran and Russia is unfolding, evident by recent diplomatic gestures that reflect cooperation and strategic convergence. During a meeting in Tehran this week, Iran Foreign Minister Abbas Ahi and Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Rudenko Andrei Yurevich discussed bilateral ties. Iran state media IRNA highlighted the visit. At the Tehran dialogue, they affirmed the determination of Iran and Russia to reinforce bilateral relations, continued consultations at all levels. And again, they praised the forum. The Islamic Republic is also interested in a north-south economic corridor. Moscow benefits from Iranian military technology, such as drones, which have found their way to the battlefields of Ukraine. Tehran benefits from Russia's diplomatic cover at the UN and access to Eurasian markets, increasingly decoupled from Western influence. So the bottom line is the bad guys find each other. And I know that not everybody in Iran is bad, and
like
not everybody in Russia.
Like. Yeah.
But you got two governments that are on a course that's anti-godly.
Yes.
And they find each other. They just do. And so you're seeing them link up again. We know that the Bible says this will happen. They're going to link up, and we're seeing more and more of that. Here's what's going on, and we'll get to another article, but let me go and explain, since this article brought it up, and then we'll read that other article. Again, President Trump, I think, really is trying to keep from attacking Iran, and even to keep Israel from attacking Iran, because probably what's going to happen is it's going to be Israel that's going to carry it out with America's backing and saying, you know, we'll help you, but you go do it. They've got to get rid of all their nuclear supplies that can make weapons. Iran is saying, no, sorry, we won't do it. That's the red line. And America's saying, we're not going to make a deal unless you do it. They're saying, we're not going to do that. So today they met for the fifth time, and probably the last, supposed to have met. And again, I don't know that they're even, if they didn't, probably some diplomats came together to let them know where each side stands. And now I think it's after this, Greg, I would suspect it's going to be a call between President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel, and he's going to give them the green light to go in and take care of business. How long that'll take to do that, when that will happen, I don't know. But I don't know where it goes from here other than taking out their nuclear sites. And so they're trying to get their buddies with them to intimidate America and Israel so they won't do it, you know. But they're going to do it. And, you know, could this be the action that forces them to now move against Israel? I don't know that. We'll have to wait and see. It could be. But it might just be something that makes it that much more tense. It is interesting that they're as close to a nuclear weapon as they are. And we know that the Bible says they'll not try to use one against Israel. So it means they won't get one. Because if they had one, they would try to use it. But rather than being able to send something over, they're going to come with armies and they're going to come with Russia. So it's this thing where, you know, you can see how we're going to get rid of, somebody's going to get rid of their supplies, it would appear, because they're not going to have them. And they say they're very close to developing their first nuclear weapon, unless they developed it and had no way to deliver it yet. But that's why maybe they come in full force.
I want to talk about that at the end of these articles,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, sure.
As it relates to the actual battle itself.
Yes.
But our next article comes from ABC News, dated May 21st. Iran vows to keep enriching uranium despite U.S. demand for halt in New Deal talks.
Yeah. You know, again, Iran, again, they're not here on this whole thing. They're going to make sure that they're able to... let's see, this is the suggest readying to strike.
That's the new article you added.
Thank you. I've got it right here. I'll make sure I got the correct one. So I was reading. Sorry if that guy's at home. I added a couple articles at the last minute. I want to make sure I had the right one. Yes. The new intelligence obtained by the United States suggests Israel's making preparations.
The one from ABC News.
That's my new
news.
One.
Oh. No, you gave me two.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So
I knew I gave you two.
Yeah, Iran
right.
vows to...
There you go, got it,
yep,
got it.
Thank you.
See, here's what I was doing. Here's behind the scenes.
That's
I was scrolling down real fast trying to find the article while you were reading it. Ran to the wrong article.
That's okay.
That's all right.
That's all right.
Here we go. Iran's top diplomat is insisting that Tehran will never stop enriching uranium, further underlying the Islamic Republic's red line in negotiations with the United States over its rapidly advancing nuclear program. The comments by Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas came after multiple rounds of talks between the two nations, including at the expert level over the details of the possible deal. However, none have been reached yet. The American officials, including President Trump and the Mideast envoy Steve Witkoff, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, maintained that Iran must give up enrichment. There it is. They're not going to bend. Something that they said they're not going to do.
Yep, that's good.
Yeah, I've said it before. I repeat it again. Uranium enrichment in Iran will continue with or without the agreement, Iran said. So, again, this is down to the... They're basically drawing a line in the sand saying, we will not stop enriching. America's saying, you're going to have to stop enriching or we're going to do something. Again, it says here Trump repeatedly threatened to unleash airstrikes targeting Iran's program if the deal isn't reached. Now, is it America unleashing those strikes or is it Israel? I think it's probably America's going to help.
Well, our next article might reveal that for us because it's a report.
Roll right into it.
From Times of Israel, dated May 21st, where new U.S. intelligence suggesting that Israel is readying to strike Iranian nuclear facilities.
Yes, again, this is where I say America's going to be backing them. Again, new intelligence obtained says this. It's interesting. The article said CNN's reporting it, so we're not sure if it's true.
Yeah.
I found that interesting.
Yes.
It says it was not clear whether Israeli leaders have made a final decision, and there were disagreements within the U.S. government about whether they would ultimately decide to carry out the strikes. CNN said the report could not immediately be confirmed. Again, the question is there. The National Security Council did not respond to the request for comment. The Israeli embassy in Washington did not immediately respond, nor did Israel's prime minister's office, which was contacted after hours. One source familiar with the intelligence told CNN the likelihood of an Israeli strike on an Iranian nuclear facility has gone up significantly in recent months. Now, I would say, regardless of what CNN said, I agree with that. It has. The person added that the chance of a strike would be more likely if the U.S. reached a deal with Iran that did not remove all the country's uranium. Again, President Trump said they have to do that. The new intelligence is based on the public and private communications from senior officials, as well as intercepted Israeli communications and observations of Israeli military movements that could suggest an imminent strike. So they're seeing the military position themselves like they're going to do a strike. If this thing, again, today, if this falls through, this may be the green light to do the strike. But again, just be watching this because this thing is, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how the world's going to react. I don't think you're going to see, I personally don't think this will cause Iran and Russia to move against Israel because I think there's going to have to be something where, you know, Russia just to go and do this with them being weakened by the war they're in. I don't know that this is the timing, but we still want to be aware of what's going on. But again, the reason this is so interesting is the timing of everything. That CNN says we hadn't confirmed it. Nobody's answering us. Well, of course not. I mean, if you plan on attacking somebody, you're not going to say, yep, you know what, tomorrow at 3. Once y'all know about that, it's going to happen then. Why would you do that? Of course you're not going to do that. You're not going to let them know the plans. America may take part. I think, as I've already noted, I think America will allow Israel to do it. Although everybody knows America's helping them because you're not quite as guilty. And I think President Trump is trying to maybe keep the diplomatic ties where America can come in afterwards and say, now can we talk? Now that all your facilities are gone, can we talk? Because they already hate Israel. You're not going to lose anything there. But I think if America had to, if Israel can't do the job, and I believe they can, but if Israel can't do the job, Greg, I think you'll see America step in and do this. And you know, with the modern technology, they may not need to do multiple strikes on one site. But if there's not some modern tool that we have, I think you're going to see, and you mentioned this maybe last week or the week before, I thought you mentioned it, multiple strikes on single spots as they continue. Maybe that wasn't you. We were talking about it. But either way,
yeah.
I believe they're going to do multiple strikes because they're so deep now.
Yes.
Yeah, that even our biggest, even Israel's biggest bunker busters, which they get them from us, they can't go down in one blast deep enough to take out where they've gone to. And that's pretty deep. I mean, these bunker busters go very deep. That's how they've been killing a lot of these terrorists lately. And Hezbollah and other places are from Hezbollah because of these bunker busters. So you may see around where all these things go in and just, I mean, massive bombing in these bunkers. Then round two. And however many rounds it takes, I mean, you may see round three in the same spot just going deeper and deeper. They're not going to be able to get away from it. It's going to cause major destruction there. Yeah. But again, it's not going to affect the civilians. It's not going to affect the cities of Iran. It's just that where their sites are. But I'm telling you, this is something where I don't know when they're going to strike, President Trump said today, I wouldn't be around, I think he said something like, I wouldn't be around nuclear facilities in June if I were you, something like that. So he did drop a month, you know, radius. He kind of said, that's it. It's going to be in June. So he's already putting the hints out there. If they're seeing by the satellite that Israel's already positioning things and getting ready for an attack, I think you could see something very soon. Now, who knows? But we'll watch the month of June to see if there's some fireworks in Iran.
I don't remember where it is in Ezekiel, either in 38 or 39. But if you can turn there, Pastor Mark,
yes,
where it's talking about what's going to happen after God supernaturally comes in and protects,
yes,
Israel and wipes out 5/6 of the invading armies.
Yes.
Now, to your point about Russia, Russia is not in a position militarily to really do anything at this point.
Right.
At this point. It doesn't mean in the future. But to your point in terms of that the Bible doesn't necessarily say that, you know, Iran will have the nuclear capabilities to attack. But what does it say regarding the cleanup?
Oh, the cleanup. Oh, you had me in a different place.
This is after God has wiped out the invading armies, after, and now they've got to come in and do the cleanup.
Yes, I was at the after for what he was going to pour his spirit out, but no, that's okay.
Yeah.
No, it says here, he says, God will, again, it says, those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out. They will set fire and burn the weapons, both shields and bucklers, bows and arrows, javelins and spears. They'll make fires with them for 7 years. They will not take wood from the field nor cut down any of the forest, because they will make fires of the weapons, and they will plunder those who plunder them and pillage those who pillage them, says the Lord. Then it will come to pass that God will bury them on the mountains of Jerusalem. They're in the north, he says. I'm kind of summarizing this.
Yep.
He's going to bury them. They'll put markers when they find bones.
So specially trained people have to do this,
yes,
right?
Yeah, it is. And again, here's why. I don't think it's nuclear, but I get what you're getting at. He says they'll set apart men regularly employed with the help of a search party to pass through the land and bury the bodies remaining on the ground in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, they'll make a search. The search party will pass through the land. When anyone finds a man's bone, he shall set a marker by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hinnom Gog. The name of the city will be Hamanoah, which means multitudes. Thus they shall cleanse the land. So it could be. Go ahead. No, I mean, some people think that it might be, Greg, nuclear, right?
Well, you know, again, what does the fuel mean? Is it fuel from vehicles that they're, you know, but it's... But,
no, you're right. I get what you're saying.
We don't know. But to the point of what they're trying to do, which is take out Iran's capability of enrichment and getting enough enriched uranium to create a bomb.
Yeah.
It could be that while an attack to wipe that out would be mostly successful, it could be that some of it was not destroyed.
Right.
Where it would allow Iran to create dirty bombs.
Right. That's possible. Absolutely.
That they would bring over the border.
Yep. To they use would, once they got there.
Wouldn't be able to use
yep.
them because God's going to supernaturally stop that.
Yep.
But yet now you have this energy, this fuel,
yep.
you know, a radioactive fuel that could be used, because 7 years is a long time.
It is.
To burn it. So anyway, and I don't know enough about nuclear or anything to know how they would convert that, use that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my thought in terms of going in right now. It doesn't mean, I don't know that it necessarily means they'll be able to wipe all of it away, because they're going to bring something across the border that's going to last 7 years.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's
well, let me
phenomenal.
Add some more to it. Let me say there's so many things. So let's talk about it for a minute. Yes, that's I never even thought about the fact that they could bring over some kind of dirty bomb material that could be used. Also, Greg, remember, if Russia's with them, Russia may bring with them limited field nukes. They call them field nukes.
Okay, and that's right.
They
well,
fire
I was thinking
them,
of that
yes,
as
they
well.
Fire them from their weapons, and they destroy smaller areas. It's still a nuclear weapon. It does great damage, but it destroys smaller areas. The fallout isn't as bad, and so they call them field nukes, because it's not the devastation you have, you know, where it wipes out entire regions type thing. And so there could be some of that, and maybe they confiscate those as well. And this is interesting. We ran across this years ago. I shared this, I think, maybe a year or two ago. I forget how long it's been on the show. My time just kind of can't keep up with it. Anyway,
yes.
Russia makes their military vehicles now with a material that burns. Their tanks, their jeeps, their military, it actually burns. You can light them and they will burn. It takes a high level of heat. It's not something that they're on the battlefield that is catch on fire, but they actually burn.
Okay.
So if you were to actually take all that armament, you could literally...
How you convert that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's like, you know, hey, could you throw another tank on the fire? Fix me up some bacon and some beans, and I go out and change the tire on fire. You know, whatever. So I don't know. But again, that's interesting. They do use materials that burn. I think probably it's going to be something more on the nuclear side when we see that take place. It could even possibly be. You know, the reason I don't think that Israel's going to win this battle or that God's going to use, because God's going to do it. God says in Ezekiel 38 and 39, I'm going to get the glory. I'm doing this. It won't be America comes in to save the day, you know, and you know, Stallone, you know, yelling Adrian as he's shooting, go to the top of him.
Right.
And it's not going to be Israel, you know, with some great military move they had there on the battlefield. It says that everybody in the world is going to know that God intervened. Israel's going to know, and God's going to pour his spirit out on them. And it says even the world, although they won't give their life to God, it says even the world will realize, wow, something happened here supernatural. So the world is even going to recognize that God's intervened. So for it to be a nuclear weapon, to me, that takes away the glory of God. That's like, oh, well, that explains it, nuclear weapon. And that's why I think it's going to be a volcano. I personally believe it's going to be a resurrected volcano that's going to come and destroy them out. And when you read about these cone volcanoes up in the north and what they do, it describes exactly the battle that happens here in Ezekiel. I may be wrong. It's just a thought. God didn't have to use that. God can do whatever he wants. However, I don't think, but that would certainly show it's God, a supernatural event.
Absolutely.
Think about it. Volcanoes that have been dormant for over 1,000 years suddenly comes to life and destroys the armies. I mean, the world's going to go, what in the world was that? So we'll see, but either way, that's why I don't think it'll be a nuclear detonation. But you weren't saying that. You were simply saying there could be nuclear materials that come over, and they can take those nuclear materials and burn them for 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, that they've created dirty bombs out of whatever enriched uranium they were able to save that wasn't destroyed.
Yeah.
Anyway, just a
It's a great thought, Greg. It's a great thought, and so we'll see. But
we'll keep watching the news.
Absolutely.
Yes. You may be a businessman or some high-degree. Right, as we look at One World Government news this week, we've got a couple of articles. The first one is from JNS.org, dated May 20th. Macron's Israeli advisor is leading the drive for a Palestinian state.
Yeah, this is just ridiculous every time I read this stuff. This drives me crazy. You know, it's one thing. It's one thing for people to hate the Jews and to see these ridiculous attacks against the Jewish people just because they're Jewish. It's a spiritual attack. It's just anti-Semitism and hatred just that the enemy stirs. What just drives me crazy is seeing Jewish people fighting against their own people. I think they think, Greg, that if I fight against this cause that everybody's standing with, that they'll all like me. Although I'm a Jew, they'll call me one of them. Now, let me tell you what happened. If things turn bad enough against the Jews where you guys are outnumbered by the world and you're going to be cornered, you're going to be cornered just as much as every other Jew. They're not going to say, oh, you know what? You took up for, you stood against the Jews. If you're a Jew, you're done. I don't care where you stood. I don't care what stand you made. This is foolishness at the highest level. It reminds me of you know, Doeg the Edomite. You know, Doeg, he was the one where, again, David goes in there and David gets the sword of Goliath. And then when he leaves, Doeg goes and tells Saul, oh, I saw what happened. It was David. And so he turns against his own people. And that's exactly what these people do. They turn against their own people. Anytime I see, you know, we had a Congressman Cohen here in Tennessee for all, you know, fighting against everything godly. And yet his name, he comes from the priestly line. He comes from the line of Aaron. And I go, what are you doing fighting against
Cohen.
God when you come from the family of Aaron? You come from the family that God chose to be the representative for God's over God's people in the world. And now you're fighting against God. Shame on you. Shame on him. Shame on him from a spiritual level, I say. But either way, this is here again. You got this Israeli advisor, Macron. Again, he's going to pick somebody that has to be Jewish to help him in his hatred of Israel. Saudi Arabia and France, it says, plan to convene a peace conference in June in New York aimed at establishing a Palestinian state without Israeli involvement. This first sentence, I'm going to read more of the article, but listen to this. They're planning a peace conference to kill Jews.
Oh, the irony.
Because what they say is they're trying to get a Palestinian state. But when you get a Palestinian state, you're going to kill Jews because they're going to kill them.
And that's the peaceful thing to do.
Isn't that something? So again, and then it says, notice this, they're making this deal for the nation of Israel. Oh my goodness, guys, we'll do all this for you. And guess what? You don't even have to be involved. We're not even going to call your leadership. We're not going to talk to President, Prime Minister Netanyahu. Y'all just sit back. We're going to give land away and just turn it over to somebody else. I know God said it belongs to you, but you know what? We're greater than God. So we're going to take God's place and do it for you. Y'all sit back and relax. We'll not only give your land away, we're going to put people next to you that want to kill you. So it just know we're on your side. We're working with you. Oh, by the way, I'll help you do that, Macron. I'll help you. I'm an Israeli. I'll help you do that. Let me kill my own people. Let me fight against the land God has given us. I'll do that. I'm like, oh my goodness. It drives me nuts. Paris is organizing a preliminary conference to begin advancing this initiative. Behind the initiative stands not only French President Emmanuel Macron, but also his advisor on the Middle East affairs and Israeli-Palestinian conflict. This advisor is a French-Israeli peace activist and president and co-founder of the Paris-based International Forum for Peace. And again, you think you're fighting for peace and you're fighting against your people. Listen, when the tide turns, you're going down like everybody else. The pair are set to host a diplomatic conference in Paris, in Paris, on June 11th through the 13th, you have to say it that way, serving as extensive preparation for the international conference scheduled at the United Nations headquarters in New York, June 16th through 18th. The conferences will have a single objective of promoting the establishment of a Palestinian state without depending on the diplomatic process of Israel. The Paris conference is expected to draw Israelis and Palestinians from across society, politicians, business leaders, academics, artists, and civil society activists, alongside opinion leaders from Europe, Arab countries, and throughout the world. Just anybody that just generally wants to come and defy God, you know, you're welcome. According to those behind the initiative, this represents the first such effort of its kind since the Oslo Accords, and their accompanying international efforts aim to build a broad popular and professional support for practical steps toward regional peace, and to prepare the ground for the hoped-for breakthrough in New York. Now, I'm mocking this, and I know they're going to use this to work toward a peace deal in the world, but Satan's just using them like a puppet. According to the advisor, Bronstein is this German advisor's name, this French, Paris, Israeli, though other initiators do not explicitly connect to this aspect, the goal, which also includes fostering recognition of Israel by Arab countries and a Palestinian state. So they're saying, you've got to recognize Israel, and we'll give you a state. And yet they're defying the words of God and fighting against the nation of Israel. And again, it's this kind of stuff. When I see people involved, I know he thinks he's doing what's right. Greg, you know, when we have these Palestinian marches we've had here in Knoxville, let me say this. God loves the Palestinian people. We need to pray for them. God loves them. God doesn't enjoy war and death and all that. But when you fight against God and you try your best just to kill innocent people, there's going to be consequences. And when the consequences come, it's just a reality of the consequence. But God loves them. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. It doesn't mean we don't pray for them. It doesn't mean we don't want the best for them. But at the same time, we stand with God and God's word and God's people because when these kind of things happen, because again, Israel's simply defending itself. Anyway, this whole stuff, when I watch this stuff and happen and I see this again, I get especially upset about the Jews, because when they would have these marches on campus, these different, you'd see Jews, you know, for Palestine or Jews against Jews or something. I don't know what, there's like the weirdest thing. It's like, what is it you're not getting? Something's not clicking. And I know they don't know the Lord, so I get that. But either way, it drives me crazy. And by the way, just as a quick note, Greg, before we go on.
Yes, sir.
Just so our listeners know, listen, yes. The reason we had the little confusion on the articles, we're very professional here. I had two different we had two different full sheets of articles because I threw some in at the last and I had the wrong sheet up. And so that's it. But anyway, go ahead, Greg.
Well, listen, I'm glad that that article did not upset you at all, because this one might have the potential to do so. This is from All Israel News, dated May 20th. Prime Minister Netanyahu is rebuking sanction threats by the United Kingdom, France, and Canada over Gaza offensive and aid. Wait till you hear what Netanyahu is likening these sanctions to.
It's unbelievable. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu issued an unusually sharp rebuke on Monday evening after a statement by the leaders of the UK, France, and Canada, who threatened to recognize a Palestinian state and to issue sanctions if Israel didn't stop the Gaza offensive and restore aid to the enclave. They're saying, look, if you don't stop defending yourself and killing your enemies that are trying to kill you, we're going to give your land away. Well, first of all, you can't give the land away. It's God's. Anyway, and I quote, by asking Israel to end a defensive war for our survival before Hamas terrorists on our border before they're destroyed, and demanding a Palestinian state, the leaders in London, Ottawa, and Paris are offering a huge prize for the genocidal attack on Israel on October 7th while inviting more atrocities, Netanyahu said in his statement. And I couldn't agree more. In a joint statement issued on Monday, The three countries bemoaned this, the intolerable level of human suffering in Gaza, while dismissing the restoration of aid on Monday as wholly inadequate. And I quote, "We will not stand by while the Netanyahu government pursues these egregious actions. If Israel does not cease the renewed military offensive and lift its restrictions on humanitarian aid, we will take further concrete actions in response to the aid." I got so much to say. Let me start with this. They're saying, if you don't stop defending yourself and your people so that they can continue to kill you, then we're taking action. You know what I say to you? Take action. Take action. You don't take action. We're going to defend our people. We're going to fight. And God's going to fight for us. So this is the most ridiculous. They're the ones that are egregious. And then this thing, Gregory says, if you don't lift restrictions, the restrictions are lifted. There are truckloads going in as we speak. Matter of fact, I just saw a video where every time these massive truckloads go in, all the Hamas terrorists stop them with guns and raid them, and they go put them in a warehouse. The people don't get them. And they're yep. storing all these massive amounts of food. And
it's the common people who are suffering.
But here's the thing, Greg, even the food, the people aren't really suffering food-wise. The bottom line is the food is still getting out. They're showing markets that are full of food. They themselves,
yeah.
The people in Gaza are sending out videos going, look at all this food. This is
but
great.
The media won't show it.
No, but it's all over the internet. Yeah. And it's coming straight out of Gaza. And these yeah. are legitimate sites. This is not people making this up. This is not AI stuff. This is legitimate. Right. So here's the bottom line. They're not starving. It's lies. They've got piles of food. They're having massive parties over there. More food's coming in. And then a lot of it is simply stolen. This excess is stolen by Hamas, put in warehouses. And by the way, if anybody tries to go and get any of that food, then Hamas just wipes them out and kills them. So, yeah. I mean, this there's so many lies. You know, the Bible says Satan is the father of lies. And when I read the news and watch this stuff, I realize there are so many lies out there and so many misperceptions and misconceptions. And I realize that a lot of people are just ignorant. You had the UN, one of the UN leaders say the other day that if they don't move in the next 48 hours, 14,000 babies are going to die. Total lie. There was not any threat of any babies dying. There was nothing. It's ridiculous. And by the way, the consequences of the human suffering in Gaza, that is Hamas. That falls on Hamas. It is their leadership. They did it. They're the ones that attacked all the innocent Israelis. They're the ones that are not agreeing to a peace agreement right now and laying their weapons down and just stopping this thing. It all falls on them. Israel is simply defending themselves. It is nonsense and ridiculous. And you're right. I did get a little bit fired up there.
On this special episode of Signs of the Times, where we, the contest is, I dare you to raise Pastor Mark's blood pressure. Our next article comes from the Times of Israel. Now, if those two didn't do it, this might. Outrage.
Yep, here it is.
As opposition party leader Golan says Israel is killing babies as a hobby yeah. in Gaza.
Again, more atrocious statements. Before I even say that, by the way, I get fired up, but my blood pressure drops right back down. You know why?
I'm just teasing.
No, I'm saying, but this is good to share because it's funny you said that. It made me smile because although I get so upset about things that are evil,
yes,
I have such peace about the Lord being on the throne and
Amen.
Control.
Yes.
I have total rest. You know, I see people that don't know God and they just watch politics
mm-hmm.
and their blood pressure goes up and they're sick and they're like, they're about to die and have heart attacks. They don't have any way. There's no peace.
Right.
So I get fired up, and you do, Greg, too. We get upset about righteous yeah. anger, things that you know, just evil, and you know it's evil. But there's an underlying peace. We know who wins in the end. We know the Lord's going to take care of all of it. The delay is hard to sit through. But at the same time, you have that great peace from the Lord. And so even as I read this, yes, it is more just ridiculousness, but I have the peace of the Lord. So outrage, again, this is what the Golan, a former left-wing IDF deputy. Here's, again, another...
It's military guy,
it's
right?
It's a Jew, but it's a Jew.
I know. But you would think someone from the military who's had to deal with this stuff head on.
You know, I don't know why, though, anybody, Greg, this role on the left like this guy would even be in the military.
Yeah.
Because, again, in the military, you've got to have the mindset of, I've got to fight and defend our people. But mostly those that far left, they don't defend their own people.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If it's a requirement by law in the nation of Israel that all men and women over the age of 18 have to serve 2 years,
you're right.
I mean, at some point, it doesn't matter what party you belong to, you're going to serve in the military.
You're right.
And so his would be the same thing.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. That makes sense. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that reminder there. But the Golan, a former left-wing IDF deputy chief of staff and current head of the Democrats Party, a merger of the Labor and Meretz Party, said in an interview with the Khan Public Broadcasting that Israel is on the way to becoming a pariah state, shunned by everyone, in other words, like South Africa was, if we don't return to acting like a sane country. Okay, hold on. Defending yourself And killing your enemies that want to kill you is insane. No, you're the one that's insane, Golan. I just, again, the political leader who is not a current member of the Knesset added that a sane country does not fight against civilians. Neither does Israel. You are a liar. They're not fighting against civilians. They are fighting Hamas. And here's the thing. When you fight in a war, civilians are going to die. There's no way. There has never been a war
They've
fought,
done
Greg,
their best,
in history.
But they can't.
There's never been a war in history where there have not been civilian casualties. And they are not targeting civilian people. They're targeting the enemy, Hamas. Hamas is putting the civilians among them. They're putting their weaponry
among them.
Because
they're cowards.
Them. Yes. And it's like, this drives me nuts. He knows this. Here's what gets me.
He would have to know it.
Craig, get this. This means that your political ideology goes over, you care more about
reality.
That than people.
Yeah.
First of all, you don't care if people die. You want your ideology, and your ideology goes over the best of the country.
Yes.
Does that not describe the far left?
Yeah.
They care more about their position than they do their own country or other people.
Yeah.
It's just maddening. But it says a sane country doesn't. You're right. A sane country is not doing it. It says they don't kill babies as a hobby. That is such an insult, and does not give itself to aim of the expelling of populations. By the way, this whole thing about genocide, since the war began. They have grown by, the Gazans have grown in numbers by tens of thousands. The last time I checked, since October 7th, since the war began, they'd grown 40-some thousand people in population.
By their own admission.
Yes, by their own admission. How much is it really? So if you think there's, listen, in genocide, a population doesn't grow, my friend. A population decreases. This is not genocide. These are lies from Satan himself. Golan accused the current government of being full of vengeful types with no morals and no ability to run a country in the time of crisis that endangers our existence. He would say he would basically say Republicans, which that's not a Republican. That's what he would say in our vernacular. You're somebody of the opposite party. That's who they are. No, they're not. These are lies. Netanyahu slammed Golan. I think we have that on film. He had a mask on and came from the top ring, calling his comments wild incitement and blood libel. I vehemently condemn the wild incitement from Yair Golan against our heroic soldiers and against the state of Israel, Netanyahu said in a statement. The IDF is the most moral army in the world. Bingo. I believe they are. I believe they might even be more moral than we are. We don't drop leaflets before we go in and bomb somebody. They do. And he goes on, our soldiers are fighting in a war for our existence. The prime minister added that Golan, who encourages refusal to serve, who encourages their refusal to serve and compared Israel to Nazis. Again, you're comparing your own people to Nazis, the nation that tried to wipe the Jews out. How messed up is this guy? I mean, he is so messed up. I think only the left side of his brain's working. While he was still in the military, he now has reached a new low when he claimed Israel is killing babies as a hobby. Netanyahu continued and said this, at a time when we are fighting a multi-front war and leading complicated diplomatic efforts to free our hostages and defeat Hamas, Golan and his friends in the radical left are trumpeting the most despicable anti-Semitic blood libels against the IDF soldiers and the state of Israel. There's no limit to their moral decay. And I say that, amen. I mean, it's one thing for somebody who's not Jewish just to attack Israel. But you're talking about a Jew and somebody who lives there accusing his own people of being Nazis when he knows the history of what the Nazis did to their people. I mean, give me a break. This is so ridiculous. It's so far over the top. That you hope that people, again, any sane person will get it. But here's what gets me, Greg. These, you know, younger people that don't even know what's going on, and they're just out there being led by the enemy and doing all their marches and holding up their flags and their signs. They hear this stuff. They go, yeah. See, even over there, they're saying it. It just gives them more fuel for the fire, which leads to what we saw in this couple got killed. We'll get to in a moment. But this just fuels the fire. And so he takes the innocent, not innocent, he takes the moldable minds and just creates hatred against his own people. Who does that?
Well, and to your point, Pastor Mark, the complicit media that falsely reports or omits truth or just outright lies or exaggerates, and then the dangerous, outlandish rhetoric that come from people like that who, if you're on the outside, think that that's credible because he's talking from, quote unquote, the inside, right?
Yeah.
Is a Jew that used to be in the military, blah, 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 blah. And now you've got people that maybe sit over here in this country in the ignorance of not just the protests, but they feed on so much of these lies and this rhetoric that it causes someone to take deadly action.
Yeah.
Which brings us to our next story.
Absolutely.
From Fox News, dated May 22nd, President Trump condemns the shooting of Israeli embassy staff as a pro-Palestinian suspect is being held.
Yes, unreal. A pro-Palestinian man is in custody after killing two Israeli embassy staff members who were leaving an event at the Capitol Jewish Museum in Washington. It's just the Jewish Museum in Washington. There was an event there. They walk outside. The guy shoots him dead. It happened on Wednesday night. The girl was crawling away, and he kept following her, shooting her. Then he walked up and shot him in the head, I think, afterwards to make sure they were really dead. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says they will track down the culprits and bring them to justice. Well, they've already got the guy. Maybe saying if there's anybody else behind the scenes involved. They're saying right now it's a lone act. Israeli President Isaac Herzog called it a despicable anti-Semitic terror attack and vowed support, saying that Israel stands with the U.S. Jewish community. And I quote, "I'm devastated by the scenes in Washington, D.C. This is a despicable act of hatred and anti-Semitism, which has claimed the lives of two young employees of the Israeli embassy." D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser described the shooting as horrific and assured the community there is no active threat. She also said the city will not tolerate this violence or hate. "We will not tolerate any acts of terrorism," Bowser said in part. "We will not tolerate anti-Semitism." A 30-year-old man identified as Elias Rodriguez of Chicago. Doesn't surprise me. He's from Chicago. But again, is believed to have committed the act alone and is in custody, the Metropolitan Police Department Chief Pamela Smith said, adding that his gun was also recovered. So it's this Rodriguez. It's not somebody from the Middle East. He's from Chicago. And he just, this is the thing, Greg, so much hatred, as you said, is being built up. Now it's acting out. Now, whenever somebody goes to where they go to the level of actually murdering someone, that means there's a lot of other people right under the surface that can do the same thing. Raised to a boiling point. That's the first bubble in the water.
Yes.
So what this means is this may not be the last. And this is a nation that has stood historically with the nation of Israel and been their greatest friend. If this is happening in America, I mean, what is going on across the rest of the world? Remember, the Bible tells us in Matthew, there's going to be an ever-increasing hatred of the Jewish people as we head into the last days. And so we're watching that hatred increase. It's amazing how fast it's turned around in just, 77 years or 70 to 80 years, it's turned around. And now we're right back where we were with Germany. I know that Israel's been back for 77 years. And of course, it was, just before when the war
over
ended.
Over 70 years.
Yeah. Well, 77 years is since 48.
Right.
So that's when it became a nation. So you have to back up into the war.
Into
so
the
it's
war,
probably
yeah.
in the 80s. But either way, it happened fast. And this next generation has no idea. They've been lied to. The propaganda has been built up. There's not many people standing against it. And so we have a whole generation here that is filled with lies and anger. I saw them dragging some woman down this, arresting her at some event. And she's like, save the baby, save the baby, because of this lie that the guy at the UN told. So these guys at the, again, it's been proven now that he lied. That was just a lie. He just made up a lie to get things stirred up. So, but it's effective. You can't put that back in. As I say, Greg, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's like, it's out. You can't do anything. So even though it's a lie, it's going to continue to cause problems. And now we had our first deaths. Who knows what other deaths are going to come?
Yeah.
I hope they stop all this stuff on campuses. Look, there should not be any more protests allowed on any campus in America, because there's going to be something happen there if they don't stop this.
Yeah. You talk about the height of ignorance of these protests at supposedly the highest institutes for learning, for education.
Well,
I mean, it's just amazing.
But Greg, get this. They are learning and they are being educated.
Yeah, I know. Indoctrinated.
But it is false learning, false education, indoctrination, and they're teaching hatred. But Satan has gotten a hold of our universities, and he uses them not only as a tool to ruin the next generation here at home, but to ruin it for everybody else around the world.
Yep. All right, as we get into some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, this almost sounds like the like an end times prophecy weather forecast. Our end times weather prophecy forecast calls for intense weather, including plagues of hail and darkness.
Brought to you by
yes, exactly,
Pfizer. Sorry.
Yeah, well, that could,
everything else is brought
everything
by Pfizer.
Is brought by Pfizer.
But Greg, what's interesting about this, even before I get into the article, some of these storms, they seem more ominous than these. They look scarier. The sky looks scarier. There's a different feel to some of them. Yeah. Even the earthquake that happened the other day, it was so different for our area. It's like something's changed. And I was in Philadelphia at a conference when this last storm went through, and I was on the phone with my wife, and she's like, "Hey, my phone just started buzzing and saying that get in the basement. A tornado's on the way. Should I do it?" And I'm like, "Well, I mean, yeah. Generally, I would, you know, if grab the dog and go down there. The one was there, and it's, you know, if you said, is there?" She said, "But there's no wind. Nothing's happening right now." I said, "Well, just listen.
It's coming.
Just listen." They've said, "And when it starts stirring up, get down there because it happens quick and drops out of the sky." And of course, we didn't really have much of that kind of thing here in Tennessee. I know that it hit. We may have had some
tornadoes.
There was
a couple of tornadoes. Yeah,
and Kentucky right before that got hit really hard. You know, and now they're getting hit with nor'easters up there where I just left from. So it's just a different. I don't know. I feel like that some of the last couple storms and things that are happening, they just look and feel different. We're going to see the earth groaning, mm-hmm. these things getting meaner, you know, and more intense. And here we go again. It says an unprecedented. This is the thing that gets me. This is so wild. They've had dust storms, by the way, in Chicago, and that's what this is about. But
yes.
Unprecedented. This is an unprecedented first time dust storm like this brought on by 60 to 70 mile an hour gusts of wind. Notice where it hits, the Chicago area on Friday. Again, Chicago seems to be the center of a lot of things happening right now.
Hmm.
Turning night into day and causing near zero visibility. Now, Greg, this is the kind of thing that's...
Turning day into night?
Did I say that?
You said turning night into day.
Turning night into day is what it says.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just turning night into day. Maybe because after it left... It, right, but that's what they wrote it. They wrote it turning night into day and causing near zero visibility. I got, you know, they probably messed up on that. Probably should have been turned day into night.
Yeah, because you were talking about darkness.
Yeah, no, it should have been. I think they've got it backwards in their article. But either way, this is the kind of stuff, Greg, you see in the Middle East. They have all these sandstorms, and sometimes you've seen them actually out west too here in the States, and they come in on a regular basis, and there's so much dust. Literally, it's just a blackout. You see this wall coming in. And then there's this blackout. There's never been anything like this in Chicago. They've had dust storms, but not a blackout. That's why I said it's unprecedented. It's like new things are happening in America that have never happened before. Very interesting. Zero visibility. The dust storm originated near Bloomington, Illinois, and advanced northeast into the Chicago metropolitan area during the afternoon and evening hours. The city issued its first ever dust warning as an emergency alert was sent to the residents. Mobile phones saying, "Be ready for a sudden drop to zero visibility. Pull aside. Stay alive." People were urged to stay indoors unless absolutely necessary. I wonder what would happen if a rainstorm came at the same time. It'd be like a big mudstorm. Wouldn't that be a wild, gross event? Dr. Tom Gill, a professor at the University of Texas, El Paso, and one of the world's foremost experts on dust. You know, I mean, I, you know, oftentimes I have to call experts on dust. You know, this, it's good to know those guys are out there. Excuse me. What kind of, could you know, what exactly is this spec? I've never seen one like this before. My kids and I were looking through the microscope.
Is this one of our relatives?
Yeah, I don't, this is, could be. This is, do we know this guy? Expert on dust. Noted the unusual event, suggesting that intense dust storms are becoming more frequent. And I quote, "Just when you thought you were safe from the dust." I never thought that, but just when they did.
They're running out of horror movie ideas.
Yes. It says a haboob-like structure formed the incoming cold front. He'll describe what that is in a moment. And El Paso is once again in blowing dust. El Paso? He's talking about El Paso here, but anyways, I guess where he is. This is the last of the 26th time this year, or this is at least the 26th time this year we've had a dust event. The long-term annual average is 22. A haboob is the Arabic word describing an intense dust storm carried out by the wind of the weather, a weather front of a thunderstorm. So it goes in front of a thunderstorm, so that's why I guess you don't get the mudstorm. Can you imagine?
That's true. Could you? Oh, man.
Can you imagine mudstorm?
That would be nasty.
There's a mudstorm tomorrow. You might want to wait to wash your car until the day after, you know. And so the dust storm is often characterized by a wall of dust.
But put out your pie tins.
Yeah. Along with the leading edge of the storm that can be it can be visually stunning. Again, I mean, that would be wild to see a mudstorm come. They don't have those. But again, Chicago, very interesting. I've never seen, I don't remember other than out in the, I think maybe recently in the deserts of Arizona, maybe they had some kind of dust storm like this. But now to see this in a major city, what would that be like? And can you imagine the cleanup? You guys are living there and inside your apartment and the whole city. I mean, with all the dust there, when the rain did come, it seems like it would be a little bit yucky. Maybe the rain washes it all away. I don't know. But either way, I think we're going to see, I know we are going to see more and more of these type of bizarre weather events and other things in the last days, not because of climate change that man's doing, but because the Bible says the earth is going to be groaning and the atmosphere, everything's going to be groaning. The environment's going to be groaning because of sin, wanting God to come back and restore it in the last days. And so you're going to see these environmental events that will inevitably be logged over and blamed on climate change, which it is. Yeah, to some degree, it is going to be a climate change event, but not because of man. That's the key. Men are not causing this. It is the earth groaning, it tells us in Romans 8:22, that are causing these environmental changes, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. I don't care how many battery-powered cars we drive, rubber band-powered cars we drive. I don't care if we walk everywhere. This is going to happen because God said it is in the last days, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. I know generally the unbeliever doesn't know that, but those of you that know the Bible know that it's futile to do some of these things that we're doing. Just live life, give your life to the Lord, and wait on Jesus to come back. It's going to be great really soon.
Our next article will inform you that don't expect your insurance rates to drop anytime soon.
Yes.
As AccuWeather.com informs us, 28 dead, and this is dated May 16th, so this could be a higher death total, and at least $9 billion in damages after deadly storms and tornadoes sweep across the central and eastern United States.
Yes, it probably has gone up. I don't know what the current death toll is. I hope it hasn't, but usually in these reports, it does. At least 28 people have died, it says, and dozens more were injured after a devastating wave of severe weather swept across the central U.S. late Friday and Saturday, leaving a trail of catastrophic destruction. We just talked about this. More than 70 tornadoes, destructive hail, and powerful wind gusts caused damage across the middle of the country during the multi-day severe weather outbreak that started Thursday, May 16th. Additional impacts and damage are expected through this late Tuesday night, which happened, as the severe weather threat shifts east throughout the week. Large tornadoes have been reported in Missouri, Kentucky, Illinois, and Indiana, with hard-hit southeastern Kentucky reporting a majority of the fatalities. According to the Kentucky governor, Andy Beshear, there were at least 19 confirmed deaths in that state connected with the severe weather, mostly in Laurel County. Images emerging at the first light on Saturday were from the town of London, about 75 miles south of Lexington, show entire neighborhoods razed, with homes reduced to piles of shredded wood and debris, downed power lines, cars tossed all over the place, and furniture strewn everywhere. So, again, just, you know, tragic, and we're going to see more and more. This Matthew 24 says, again, you're going to see more and more of these crazy type of events that are going to be happening in the last days, and we have them here. So I don't know what the latest is on this. I know that if you want to be involved in this, I know for a fact that I saw this, again, like with all these storms, Samaritan's Purse goes in. They've already got, no doubt, things set up, and they're rocking and rolling. They're an amazing organization led by Franklin Graham, as probably most of our listeners know. So if you want to be involved in any of that, just contact them. You can get involved in helping. But we're going to see more and more of this the closer we get to the last days. This is just the beginning, as Jesus said, the beginning of sorrows.
And if you need a reminder that pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption that the Bible speaks about prophetically are a global issue, not just regionally here in our country, then the Times of Israel will remind you, this article dated May 22nd, is Israel shakes from a 6.1 magnitude earthquake that jolted the Greek islands.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. They've been having earthquakes for a while over there. I mean, we covered some, the reason this sticks out in my mind, we had just gotten back. We went on a Journeys of Paul tour. And we went to these Greek islands, and after we left the Greek islands, they had these earthquakes, and everybody was fine. Nobody was hurt, no major damage, but wow, that's kind of freaky to be there on an island out in the middle of the ocean and have an earthquake, especially when one of the islands, it may have been Santorini, I forget which specific island it was that we went to, it was formed by a massive explosion of a volcano, which those are always connected, volcanoes and earthquakes. So to know that it was formed that way and to see the other formations, the volcanic formations coming up out of the ocean, out of the sea, you could see them there and you could tell they were pushed up by volcanic activity that looked, you know, I mean, fairly new, you know, not like thousands of years old. It's kind of weird to think, wow, if you were there and earthquakes happened, that would be kind of like, okay, is this about to happen again? You know, who knows? And then after our 4.1 the other day, imagine what a 6.1 is like. Again, it's not just like adding a third to it. These things go up exponentially with each point. It's like it's way more than adding a third to what we experienced in Knoxville. So this would have been a huge, scary thing that took place here. It says out of Athens, an undersea 6.1 magnitude earthquake struck off the Greek island of Crete early Thursday and was felt across the Aegean Sea. Again, beautiful islands over there. We were over there recently. The Aegean Sea, I've never seen anything that blue in my life.
Yeah.
You know, you've probably seen some of the blue oceans. I don't know when, if you're in the Navy, if they had you travel any at all.
Or no, I was in the Air Force.
Okay. Yeah. Air Force, what was Navy? Why do they Navy?
I don't know.
Air Force. Okay, either way. But I mean, I was like, wow, this is absolutely amazing. But anyway, there were no immediate reports of injuries or injuries or significant damage. The it says Timbler. I think it's supposed to be Trembler. Who are all these people? Come on, you guys, you do your spelling. The Trembler.
What's from Israel?
So, okay. Sent shivers across Israel. Well, yeah, because sometimes the English words, if they have people writing, they get confused. Sent shivers across Israel with residents in Haifa, Jerusalem, and Holon, and Beersheba. Among those who said they felt it, the Ynet outlet reported. It came after last week residents of numerous areas around Israel, including Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, reported feeling an earthquake shortly after a 6.3 magnitude quake struck Crete. The shock was felt extensively across the islands throughout the Aegean Sea. Greece sits on a major fault line, experiences frequent seismic activity located where the African and Anatolian tectonic plates converge. The Aegean Sea is often hit by quakes, but the region had not experienced a phenomenon of such magnitude since records began in 64. That is 1964. Israeli experts have long been warning that the region is overdue for a major tremor, that the country is woefully unprepared. And so, wow. You know, again, these you read all these. It's happening all over the world. Earthquakes in various places, as the Lord said. And so you're going to see, don't freak out. Don't you be shaken. When the earth shakes, don't you be shaken, because the Bible says God will shake everything that can be shaken. But believers are to stand firm on our rock, which is the unshakable rock of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So praise the Lord for him.
Now, I don't know. I think there's different charts out there. So I don't know if the chart that I've just pulled up is accurate, okay. But I'm sure that our listeners can go out and do this. Like, for example, the earthquake that was here in Tennessee last week or week before was the 4.1. Okay. And there's an equivalency chart, or there's equivalency charts out there that liken the magnitude to the equivalent amount of dynamite. Or TNT explosives or TNT energy. So at a 4.0,
here we go,
is 6 tons, which they liken to a small atomic bomb. Now that earthquake here in Tennessee was 16 miles down.
So that's what a small atomic bomb 16 miles down would have felt like.
Would have felt like.
Wow.
Now,
that's kind of cool.
When we go to 6.0, and this was a 6.1, I think you said.
Yes, 6.1.
Okay, that's 6,270 tons.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how deep that earthquake was registered under the earth.
It didn't say in the article.
I don't think it did either. Yeah. But anyway, and I don't, like I said, there's different charts out there. I don't know how accurate that is, but we're in the ballpark there. Yeah. If you can gain an appreciation for what these earthquakes, you know, can be likened to in terms of explosions. Now, could you imagine if something like that happened closer to the surface?
Yes, unbelievable.
So anyway.
Well, and again, it just reminds me of, you know, we think we're so solid on the earth, right? When those kind of things happen, you realize we're on this floating ball out in the middle of space.
Yes.
That God's the one that's holding everything together. The only thing, Greg, that is truly solid in our life is Jesus Christ. That's it. He's our solid core.
Well, speaking of which, there's a lot of people this weekend, Pastor Mark, that need Jesus Christ, because we're celebrating Memorial Day this weekend, and this is the weekend that we honor and remember those that gave the ultimate sacrifice of their lives for the sake of our country.
Yeah, and I just want to say, first of all, just to honor for all the families out there that you had family members that gave their life for our country, thank you. I know that your family members made that decision, but you were a big part of that and supporting them in that decision. And thank you for your sacrifice in the sense of being willing to allow your family members to do that and to take that chance, and then to see they give the ultimate sacrifice. You know, a lot of families, it passes down, Greg. You see a lot of military families, it passes on down.
Yeah.
It's just something that they feel that responsibility and they do it. And so, first of all, a thank you to all the families that gave freely of their loved ones and supported them to protect our country, and then they gave their lives. We honor you, and I would encourage those of you, you know, this Sunday we'll pray for those who gave the families of those who gave their lives, that they can be encouraged. Yeah, the believers out there, be praying for those families who, again, lost family in defending our nation. In whatever form and fashion. That's what this is for, is to remember them and to be thankful for what they've done. So And again, as we thank those that have done that, we think about, again, the Lord and the fact that he gave. Once again, I know I said this, but I want to go back to it.
John 15:13.
Go ahead.
Well, the
no greater love
than man has.
That delayed in his life. I thought you had in front of you.
No.
Yes, that, you know, again, we see the love of those who gave their lives for this nation, but really no greater love as man laid down his life for his friend, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who came to the earth as a man. The Bible says he went to the cross to die for your sins, not just the sins of the world, which he did, but your sins. Those of you listening and watching right now, he died for your sins. And if you will confess your sin and repent and ask him to forgive you and give your heart to him, the Bible says you'll be forgiven and born again. And there's no greater honor we can give to anyone who deserves it greater than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we will honor him eternally for what he's done.
Amen. Pastor Mark, as always, thank you so much. And folks, thanks for listening. Don't forget thewaymedia.net for everything Signs of the Times related. We do hope you have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. And we'll see you back here next Friday for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.